You ready to check your feelings at the door?
Check it out.
This is Am I Reister or Am I Wrong? We're bringing you facts and only the truth. Now, Am I Reister or Am I Wrong?
I'm George Reister, he's Ralph Amsden, and this is Reister or Wrong, the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. And I usually, well, actually not usually, I think this is the first time ever I don't know what exactly is the topic or have any back research done on this at all. Because Ralph hit me up and he was like, George, I have a great topic for the show today. I don't want to tell you what it is. I need your live, unfiltered reaction. So I'm like, okay, cool. I can do that for you, Ralph. So here is what I know, that there is an Ohio State recruiting site scandal. I know we're going to talk about Ben Simmons leaving the Sixers, which I know like a typical show topic. And that's cancel or consequence. And then, of course, the best of social media, where we show you guys literally the best things from social media. And Ralph had this idea. So if you guys want to weigh in, if you guys have questions, comments after he finishes explaining everything that's going on, because I'm supposed to react with the questions like I'm you guys. But if I miss anything, shoot us a text, 818-293-7547. That's 818-293-7547. Or shoot us an email. I'm Matt, I-M-M-A-D, at unafraidshow.com. And we will answer them on the next podcast, or we'll text you back, or whatever it is. Okay. And make sure that you guys leave a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. And most importantly, share the podcast with at least 3 people. 3 people.
3.
5? Or is, or is that 10?
10.
How many people actually know 10 people that they're all interested in the same thing?
You don't got to know them. Just like put it on a bumper sticker on your car or something. Or
I like that.
I got Postmates delivered today. I told that guy about it. That's how we evangelize. We are apostles.
Perfect. Okay, so I will. The floor is yours, Ralph.
Okay, so we're going to need to do a little bit of background on this. George, you frequent recruiting website subscription-based message boards quite a bit, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so with recruiting websites, the rules are a little bit murky, I'll be honest. I actually run a Rivals.com affiliate website on the high school side, ArizonaVarsity.com. I was the managing editor for a number of years for an Arizona State University recruiting and beat reporting website called Devil's Digest, also a Rivals affiliate from like 2015 to 2019. Those companies have policies within them as to like what you're supposed to do. It sounds like you're sawing wood on your you got a wood shop project going on while I'm explaining this.
I'm trying to fix this chair.
Super long story short, I actually work as part of a recruiting affiliate site. Okay, so if anybody has any questions on how those things work, you can absolutely get at me. But the way this industry works is there are probably 3 main pillars of the industry. One is 24/7, which merged with Scout. Scout was another really big one. Okay.
Okay.
2 is Rivals. I have a Rivals affiliate. And 3 would be, I guess, independent sites / the newest iteration of Rivals and 24/7 on 3, which is actually out there collecting a bunch of the independent sites to make part of their network. And I believe that you even know one in the Oregon network that just jumped into the on 3
network
as well.
Scoop Duck.
So Oregon has all 3 in their markets. Some markets don't have every single team. 24/7 is a little bit more successful, I would say, in the West. In the SEC region is probably more.
They have their own
Rivals.
Independent, and they have their own independent sites that seem to be very big on the East Coast and South, right?
Yes. And then some of the really big rival sites, War Chant is the Florida State site that's part of the Rivals Network. Orange Bloods, which I think most people who are college football fans have heard of, is the really big site for Texas that's part of the Rivals Network. 24/7's got some really big ones on the West Coast, especially. We had Ryan Abraham on. His USC site's pretty large. You know, so they're different networks have different pockets of success. On Three is being started by Shannon Terry, same guy who helped found Rivals and either Scout or 24/7, one of the two of them. And then you have Jim Heckman, who was part of the founding of all that, who's gone on to be part of a group that purchased Sports Illustrated. Now Sports Illustrated's doing fan team sites. And that's pretty much become industry standard, is localized team sites all over the country that cover college stuff. But the ones that are really recruiting focused would be On3, 24/7, and Rivals. Now, a lot of people who work in this industry are sort of interchangeable. They'll go from publishing one site to another site. They'll go from network to network. Every once in a great while, you'll get a bunch of people that go independent. And that's what we had happen in the Ohio State market. In the Ohio State market, there was a website, part of Rivals, called Buckeye Grove. I was familiar with it because they had, I believe, a publisher named Kevin Noon, who I've run into a few times, who has since had his, I'm assuming, contract expire with Rivals, and he's moved on to a new website, which I'm going to get to in a moment. The other person that was part of Buckeye Grove on the Rivals side, he actually was, I believe, their lead recruiting reporter. And what ended up happening with him was he left altogether to start his own website, which is, again, is pretty common within this industry. And I'm trying to pull his name up for you because he's somebody that I kind of know peripherally. I've worked at different camps with him and things like that. So you're just going to have to forgive me for a moment while I look up his name. But the point being is that people from the Rival site got together with other people within the Ohio State sphere and decided to create their own independent site called Buckeye Scoop. And the lead guy on this is the guy whose name I had forgotten, and now I remember. His name is Mark Givler. Mark Givler was a reporter with Rivals who left to start an independent site, and he started it with Kirk Barton. Do you know who Kirk Barton is, George?
No.
Okay. Kirk Barton played offensive line at Ohio State. He is he's my age, like 36 years old. He's kind of hung around the program a little bit, on and off affiliated with different Ohio State outlets, and he's a former player. So he's got a lot of connections to the program. Kirk Barton and Mark Givler started Buckeye Scoop, an independent recruiting website that is subscription-based. And with it, they brought with them a bunch of different beat reporters and recruiting reporters from all over Ohio. So they basically formed a super team independent website to compete with all the other independent websites and 24/7 and Rivals.
Bucknuts and all the rest of them.
11 Warriors and all that stuff. So that's where we're at in the story. To recap the story so far, people leave to start an independent Ohio State recruiting and beat writing website. Okay. It is called Buckeye Scoop, and one of the main founders is Kirk Barton, a former Ohio State player. Okay. The people who know of Kirk Barton that are not like super big fans of Ohio State might remember him from 2018 when he was pulled out of a taxi by the cops because he tried to shut the door on a cop's hand. He was charged with assaulting a police officer, tased, the whole thing's on video. It was a giant mess. You might want to ask yourself, why would you want to get into business with somebody who assaulted a police officer? Everybody makes mistakes, right? So maybe it's just a one-off thing.
Okay.
So, you know, could have just been a thing where he got too drunk and used bad judgment. Either way, he is an influential part of Buckeye Scoop. He founded it with Mark Givler. They brought in all these other people. And then eventually, Rivals' contract expired with Kevin Noon, who I've had a couple run-ins with. Feelings weren't hurt that he's no longer part of the network. We'll just put it that way. He went over to Buckeye Scoop. So Buckeye Scoop has this giant group of reporters, and they're supposed to be the website in the Ohio State market, and they're doing a really good job. They're breaking a lot of news, and one of the ways that they're breaking a lot of news is there's a notorious message board poster who was part of Rivals who came over with them as a paid contributor. He goes by the name Nevada Buck. Now, George, in every market, there's notorious posters, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay, so I actually heard of that dude because he's not only there. I'm sorry. I was on the 24/7 version when Oregon was going to go play Ohio State, and they referenced something that Nevada Buck had said. So I've seen that name before.
Okay, so Nevada Buck, and you'll appreciate this because you know that there's a lot of peripheral people around programs who either do have connections, are big money donors, or like to pretend that they have connections.
Yes.
Right? There's a guy who follows University of Arizona. I'm not going to shout him out on this show, but he calls himself a coach, and he says he has all these connections to the University of Arizona program. He's a thorn in everybody's side, and he comes off as somebody who is not somebody you'd want to be around. He comes off as somebody who is detached from the reality of the situation. I feel like every fan base has it. I'm going to be honest. Probably half of the reason that I left Devil's Digest was there was one message board poster in particular who just drove me absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. So every market has these notorious posters, but Nevada Buck, because Ohio State's one of the biggest sites in the country, or one of the biggest draws in the country. That's why they have so many sites covering their program. There's a lot of peripheral money to be made. There's a lot of influence to be had. He has, through several coaching administrations at Ohio State, been a thorn in their side. He has said that he's had insiders. He calls them his wise men, which is appropriate for the Pac-12 Apostles podcast. Nevada Buck's wise men. They feed him information, and then he then in turn gives that information to whatever message board he's on, and he calls them his nuggets, right? So this is the language that he uses. Nevada Buck has wise men, and he deals out information nuggets. And he has a large following because he's been right about some stuff. He's been wrong about a lot of other stuff, serious stuff. Like, he called Justin Fields, I think, a pedophile on a post one time. Like, he's been wrong about a lot of stuff. He's been inflammatory about a lot of stuff, but he's been right about enough that he has people who kind of hang on his every word. Now, the guy's name in real life, is Ken Stickney.
Okay.
His family name used to be on the tennis courts at Ohio State.
Okay. First thing is, how did you find out his name? So that's my first question.
Okay. So there's been people within the Ohio State ecosphere that have been trying to out this guy forever.
Yeah. And that there's a lot of that on the message boards where it's like the don't F with cats people, where they're trying to figure out who certain people are who become, you know, message board famous.
Yeah, especially if you paint yourself as some type of insider.
Okay.
Because then people are going to want to know, what's his connect, right? That's part of the mystery of it. And it can be really, really fun. And for the most part, the people who operate those message boards, it is an incentive for them to keep those identities a secret, because it sort of adds to the intrigue of everything. And if you have a plugged in message board poster, then that can help increase your business. More people are going to want to subscribe to your message board because a guy like Nevada Buck is on there dropping nuggets, dropping information, and he might actually get one right here and there. And you forgive him for the ones he got wrong, because for the ones that he got right, you feel like you're in.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like you're part of something. So Nevada Buck's part of the Rivals website. He goes over to Buckeye Scoop, but not just as a cornerstone message board poster, as like an employee.
Okay.
So, and his name is Ken Stickney. He comes from family money. His grandfather, Hank Stickney, or father Hank Stickney, is very, very well known. This guy has done a pretty good job of keeping his identity secret, but for the last 15 plus years has said that he has insiders in the program. He said that he once got a call from Jim Tressel, trying to figure out who he was and how he got all his information. His identity is largely a secret, but the other people within the Ohio State system, or people that have kicked him off their message boards, or people that he's angered by calling names and stuff, they have outed his name. Okay. So he owns multiple businesses. He has a lot of money, and in all likelihood, probably put up some of the money that's behind Buckeye Scoop. Because you might want to you might ask yourself, if you're a recruiting reporter, how did you get all this money to pay a giant staff? Because that's all Mark Gibler was just a recruiting reporter. So unless he had a lot of money saved up to be able to employ all these people, the investment and the money had to come from somewhere. Okay. So that all brings us to right now. The players in this story, Mark Gibler and Kirk Barton, Gibler, a recruiting reporter, Kirk Barton, a former player who started Buckeye Scoop together, hired a bunch of people, moved over from Rivals, and one of the people that they hired is a message board poster named Nevada Buck, whose real name is Ken Stickney. I tell you all that to tell you this. Mark Gibler just sued Kirk Barton and Ken Stickney.
Okay.
He just sued them.
For what?
Amongst the allegations, and we're going to get into all of them because they are plentiful, and it turns into a very, very dizzying thing. Within the documents of this lawsuit, these are some of the things that have been alleged. Okay, so number one, Kirk Barton and Ken Stickney were paying a player on the team for inside information, and that player on the team has now been kicked off.
Okay.
That by itself is a within this world, would you agree, George, is a pretty enormous scandal.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So I'm not going to say the player's name because it hasn't been confirmed, and the allegations in this lawsuit are just allegations. But when the co-owner of your website is suing you and saying that you did these things, I think it carries some weight.
Okay.
So Ken Stickney and Kirk Barton are being sued for, number one, basically getting Buckeye Scoop's credentials threatened for doing something illegal, which is paying a player who was on the team that Ohio State then had to kick off for information. Thing number two that they're being sold for, making stuff up. It is being alleged by Mark Givner, who started this website, that they are just inventing things. That they that they're putting stuff on the board from practice reports that are demonstrably false and never happened.
Okay.
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 Thing number three, Kirk Barton withdrew $7,500 from the bank account, from Scoop's bank account, to purchase a truck at Reichart Automotive.
Okay.
So obviously that's a pretty heavy discount on a truck, right?
Yes.
So part of the lawsuit is that Reichart Automotive was started to be listed as a sponsor on Buckeye Scoop's website. But Mark Gibler doesn't have any record of any payment ever being made from Reichart Automotive to Buckeye Scoop.
Oh, so he got the car for it.
Right. So he's alleging that Kirk Barton stole $7,500 from the company, and then the difference was made up in sponsorship. So Kirk Barton got himself a truck out of this. Okay? Okay. And a job. Reichart Automotive hired Kirk Barton.
Okay. Okay.
And the next thing that happened was Kirk Barton, former Ohio State offensive lineman, co-founder of Buckeye Scoop, alleged thief of money to buy a truck, used his position at Reichart Automotive to give a $100,000 souped-up truck to Quinn Ewers.
Okay.
The number one recruit in the class of 2022 who just graduated early to take advantage of NIL deals, including this $100,000 souped up truck from Reichart Automotive.
So this doesn't look bad on Quinn Ewers, because this is just looks like a name, image, and likeness deal for him. And I actually saw a post of other Ohio State guys getting cars. Right.
Right. And Reichart Automotive is a big supporter of Ohio State athletics, which is why they would give Kirk Barton a job, which is why they would give him a discount. And maybe they're not aware that he paid with money that wasn't his to get it, and that he listed them as a sponsor without disclosing to the rest of the partners within the website who weren't receiving any money. But Quinn Ewers, an Ohio State quarterback, ends up with a $100,000 truck from a member of the media.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yep.
That's just the beginning. Four-Star Freightliners, based out of Alabama and run by a man named Jerry Koken, who is a friend of Barton, got Four-Star Freightliners a sponsorship on Buckeye Scoop. But Mark Givler, the co-founder of the site, says, "We never got any money from them." Jerry Koken says, "But I gave Kirk Barton $5,000.
Okay. So now this is number two time that money's coming up missing.
Yes. Kirk Barton is in charge of all merch sales for Buckeye Scoop.
Okay.
All merchandising sales. The website and Mark Givler are alleging that they have never seen a penny from anything that was ever sold. So they are alleging that all of that has been pocketed.
Okay. And I'm assuming that there are people walking around with Buckeye Scoop gear.
Absolutely. They would have records of purchases.
Okay.
Upon being admitted as a member of Buckeye Scoop, Ken Stickney, Nevada Buck, demanded that he get $7,500 cash to match Kirk Barton's unauthorized withdrawal. He was told that he was not entitled to payment or distribution because he wasn't a member when Barton made that withdrawal, but Stickney had access to the account and withdrew $7,500 for himself.
What?
That is one of the allegations as well.
Okay.
So that's where we're at. Now, Mark Givler still runs Buckeye Scoop. I don't know what founders are left or what money is behind it, but every employee that was an employee on September 1st, outside of these two, seems to still be listed as an employee on the site.
Okay.
But Kirk Barton and Ken Stickney are being sued.
Okay.
Kirk Barton has made his Twitter private. Ken Stickney has long said that he has these wise men within the program. It's now come out that he was paying a player, could be multiple players, because he said that he has four wise men. And I found out, George, that he has four wise men because he told it to Zach Smith on Zach Smith's podcast, which means that the people at Buckeye Scoop are working in conjunction or in support of the platform of former Ohio State wide receiver coach Zach Smith, who is running his own operation and podcast. You might remember Zach Smith from 10 years of police reports by his wife Courtney and the reason that Urban Meyer is no longer the coach of Ohio State. So you have Nevada Buck and Kirk Barton appearing on Zach Smith's show to talk about the wise men they have within the program, and Zach Smith speculating, this is back in April, as to who they could be. Come to find out, it's probably walk-on players within the program that were actually taking money for information to feed back to Buckeye Scoop, which now the people who operate Buckeye Scoop are distancing themselves from and saying, even though we brought these people over from rivals, even though Kirk Barton assaulted a police officer on camera, we didn't know they were bad guys until they did it to us.
Which is what people usually say, because they're like, they won't do it to me. They only do it to other people. Okay.
Right.
So now within this story. Okay. So I went to Buckeye Scoop's website. They are still functioning and like it nothing appears like out of sorts on the website. They have new stuff about CJ Stroud, Dallas Gant hitting the transfer portal. They have a list of sponsors, everybody from Panera to Five Star Heating and Cooling Group, Steamboat, all of these other companies. So now, being that you have worked with rivals and all of this stuff, do you think that is this improprietous?
it, not only is it, I was wondering why we got a reminder 10 days ago of all of the company policies. Company policies that include that publishers shall not contribute either financially or otherwise to any university cause, booster, club, organization, or any related concern. That we're not supposed to have family members. If we knowingly have family members of prospects on our message board, we can get in trouble for that. That we're not supposed to be outright rooting for these schools, even though a lot of publishers are graduates of the schools that they cover. And Kevin Noon, who was at Buckeye Grove, part of Rivals, who just left to be part of Buckeye Scoop. Kevin Noon went viral during that Fiesta Bowl game down in Arizona when one of my former colleagues, Eric Sorensen, outed him for actively booing and cheering in the press box, right? Like, we have all of these policies that are out there. That was one of the reasons why I was uncomfortable with him. That and some of the stuff he'd say when I was around was not stuff that fits in with my value system at all. And so, you know, I always kind of tried to keep my distance in those instances. And yeah, that doesn't mean that just because somebody's rough around the edges doesn't mean that they're breaking the policies of their company. It just so happens that we're part of the same company, and I know a lot of people who witnessed him break those policies. He's somewhere else now, but we all just got this giant reminder of what all our policies are. And I am assuming that it probably had something to do with the fallout from a bunch of former people affiliated with Rivals operating an independent site in which one of the message board posters, who is a partner in the company, gets caught paying players on the team, or is alleged to have done so. There's one part left of this scandal, George, okay, that I did not tell you, and it's probably the part that's going to piss you off the most. Buckeye Scoop has a fantasy football league. Kirk Barton got caught going in at halftime and adjusting people's lineups so that him and his wife would win.
What?
Kirk Barton is not only stealing from the website he's a partner in, allegedly, he is also messing over subscribers who were part of their fantasy football league.
Dude,
in order to
you
take
can't
more money
do
from
that.
Them.
Fantasy football people, who, if you're in a serious league, are notoriously vigilant about the lineups. They will pay attention if anything gets changed. They're like, hell no, that ain't cool. I'm on a group chat with my fantasy competitive fantasy football league right now, and there are regularly fights. Like, because they, I mean, over, you know, people putting people on IR where an IR slot was only created because of for COVID, and then people have violated the policy. Dude, it makes people very, very upset.
Yep. And it, what's crazy now is you have all of these people tweeting thank yous, and I have them all pulled up in front of me right now. You have all these people tweeting thank yous to Kirk Barton as part of Reichart Automotive for hooking them up with a truck when he's also part-time member of the media who is allegedly paying players on the team to give him more information to help grow the site that he's not only stealing from, allegedly, but also messing over the fantasy football league of, allegedly.
Bro, this is the kind of stuff that, okay, so could this get Scoop, Buckeye Scoop, discredentialed?
It should. It should. I mean, I think, first of all, this is the type of thing that you would figure would trigger an NCAA investigation.
Jeez.
Like, if a member of the media is suing their former partners for helping them commit illegal, according to the NCAA, and illegal period activities, then the NCAA needs to look at this lawsuit and say, we need to look at what's happening at Ohio State. Did anybody on that team receive money from, and I know Ohio State just got done spending $1 million on an internal investigation on how Urban Meyer and Gene Smith all handled the Zach Smith thing. But like, you need to have an internal investigation as to who might be communicating with Nevada Buck and with Kirk Barton, former player Kirk Barton, because even though some of this stuff is legal now, and I feel like Kirk Barton did a good job of taking advantage of it just as far as like organizing these NIL deals with car dealerships, he still is painting himself as a member of the media and a partner in a media website. And because of that, like, you have to look at those lines. And Buckeye Scoop should have their under no circumstances should Buckeye Scoop still have credentials, because the partner in their website was still giving out stuff to players. How can you, as an athletic department, look at that website and say they are objective, valued members of the media when they are this close to getting your school sanctioned for dumb shit?
Okay, now devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Buckeye Scoop people would say, yo, this is done all over the place, right? This is where sources come from.
Paying players on the team?
I mean, I'm saying, like, because as soon as somebody gets allegations hurled at them or lawsuits, the first thing they do is point to other people and say, they do it over there.
Yeah, I mean, we witnessed this with Arizona State. And by the way, Arizona State fans weren't wrong, because there are actually specific examples of other schools organizing things during the COVID period that have been outed. But if you're saying everybody is doing it, that's not true. You can't just say everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Because that's not the case.
Okay.
The whole reason that these other schools get pissed off is because there are some that are actually following the rules.
So now how about like name,
David
Shaw
make a lot of noise.
So how about name, image, and likeness? They might say, okay, well, it's a car dealership actually giving the kids the cars. So like Quinn Ewers, who may have not done anything wrong because he doesn't know this whole backstory, and it's just a name, image, and likeness deal with the car dealership.
Right. So then what it needs to become about is the actual media entity. And I think the best thing that Mark Givler probably could have done to even give himself a chance to still exist with this in this industry is to have a lawsuit against his partners / employers / whoever's in charge.
So if you found out that Chili was,
I sent you a tweet,
had taken $7,500 out of the bank account, how's that going to work out?
So if I found out that Chili, my right-hand man with Arizona Varsity, if I found out that he had taken money from the account to purchase a vehicle and then gave the car dealership a sponsorship on our website without any of the other employees of the website seeing any benefit from it, then that would be the end of our relationship. If I found out that Chili then used that position to give free stuff to a bunch of the kids that we cover, then I would have to go into like major damage control to make sure that the Arizona Interscholastic Association would ever even credential us again.
Okay.
Right? Because we would not have been acting in good faith according to media policy. Like we're barely even within their rules now, because we're a pay site and they're not supposed to credential people from pay sites. But we've shown over time that we give enough away of our content away for free that we don't necessarily, that our message board is for paying customers, but the actual content is not. So like these rules for the most part are hard and fast, and you want to make sure that you're following them so that you don't get your access to the team that you cover revoked, because you're not much of a website if you're not a credentialed one.
Yeah.
By the actual school. If you cause the school to get investigated, what incentive do they have to credential you?
None. Well, unless they're like, we don't want all the rest of the trash on the sidewalk. Like we don't want.
So if you say looking into this is going to reveal more than just this mess.
Correct.
But how can you, if it goes national, if Awful Announcing is putting it out there, if The Ringer's talking about it, if we're talking about it on this show, if we're talking about the fact that the quarterback that you just signed got a truck from a dealership, and that deal was put together by a guy who is also a member of the media who was also paying somebody on your team.
Yeah. Yes.
What do you
do? So now you have to wonder, are these kids now indebted to this person to like give inside information that they should not be giving out?
And how long have they been doing it? Because how dumb is it to pay somebody for practice reports when you could have just bribed them with a truck? Quinn Ewers got a truck. The kicker got a truck.
Yeah.
And yes, it's not even like this isn't when you notice I say allegedly a lot and then sometimes I don't. This is not. I sent you the tweet. Rick Reichardt, the guy that owns the car dealership. I'm going to read you the caption on this tweet of Quinn Ewers getting into his $100,000 F-250 Tremor. Number one and number one working together. Welcome, Quinn Ewers, to the Reichardt family in this Rabid Customs lifted supercharged Ford Trucks Ford F-250 Tremor. Look out for big things. And thanks to Buckeye Scoop and Kirk Barton for making this happen. They thanked the media for linking them to the kid to give him the free truck to promote their car dealership.
Wow.
That's already the weird gray area that we're in.
Wow.
But this is the whole, you always say like, don't be surprised if you lie down with dogs if you end up with fleas, right?
Yeah.
The guys from Rivals, Mark Gibler and Kevin Noon, who went over to Buckeye Scoop, Mark Gibler co-founding it with Kirk Barton, he co-founded it with a guy who assaulted a cop. And he brought on as one of the cornerstones of the website a guy that is very hated for his message board behavior, who claims to have sources inside the program. And then when it comes out that some of those sources might actually be accepting cash in order to report back, you're like, oh, how could this have happened? Oh, the guy that assaulted the cop and the other guy that makes stuff up that everybody hates acted inappropriately. Oh, I got to sue him now. I'm so surprised. Come on, dude.
Wow.
Like, and if you end up getting Ohio State investigated by the NCAA as a member of the media, you shouldn't have a following anymore. You shouldn't be platformed anymore. And so I saw Mark Gibler tweet that he's like, oh, thanks everybody for the support as we go through this difficult time of me having to sue my coworkers or whatever. Like, dude, you literally brought this upon yourself. You have affiliated your website with alleged domestic abuser who has spent time in jail for violating protective orders in Zach Smith. You brought Nevada Buck to your website. You started this website alongside Kirk Barton. What did you think was going to happen? What did you think?
That's wild, dude. That is wild.
It's just it pisses me off because it's one of those things where you constantly get reminders of the right way to do things, and you constantly have people on your ass to follow the rules, to follow procedures, to do things right. And when you go out of your way to do it and it actually makes your job harder, and then somebody else, you know, it's like every single time you're putting out somebody else's fire, they're over in the corner rubbing two sticks together to start another one.
Bro.
And it gets really frustrating. Like, I would love some accountability within my industry, and there's probably a lot of people who run recruiting sites who just laugh at that. We just laugh at the idea that that it's anything more than, you know, people taking whatever advantage they can and whatever leg up they can. But like, it's freaking, like, you can't be so dumb to be giving cash to players on the team for secrets, because part of the lawsuit is that, like, this player was going around to different position groups and he was injured, and they were trying to figure out why he was there taking notes.
Wow. And
then, you know, they end up booting him off the team. How many other people are involved? That's something that Ohio State needs to look into. I don't care what other skeletons.
Yeah, because if you're Ryan Day, you definitely don't want somebody. I mean, just for practical purposes, out there leaking stuff that is internal information. Because my first thing is, I'm a coach. I'm telling everybody, if I find this out, I don't care if you're Quinn Ewers or JT Tuimoloau. If I find out that you're leaking information to the media and they're paying you, you're out of here, bro. Period.
But right. And it's
nothing
not
else
like
to talk about.
You got your job through the previous guy saying, I don't know. So is that what you're going to do? Are you going to make sure you don't know either?
Of course.
No, you're not going to say, I don't know. You're going to figure out what the hell's going on. You're going to get those people out of your program.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very true. All right. Well, we will continue to cover this. And if you guys have any questions, shoot us an email. imad@unafraidshow.com or shoot us a text message, 818-293-7547. All right. Now we move on to cancel or consequence.
Do we need to cancel? Or is there a justified consequence? Let's find out now.
Where today's victim, or whatever you want to call him, is Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers. Because Because Ben Simmons has come out and said he in no way will ever play for the 76ers again. And he's a clutch sports guy, so you got to take this dude seriously. And if you're the 76ers, there are probably veiled threats where it's like, yo, if you want another clutch sports free agent, you better get him up out of here. I'm just letting you know that right now. And he's in a position to where he feels like Joel Embiid and Doc Rivers turned their back on him. And they're both now publicly, no, we want Ben back. We want him back. They're doing this to keep his trade value up because he said he wants out. And they really don't want him, but they're not able to get what they want back necessarily in a trade value if they feel like that he is going to, that if he's so disgruntled that he's not going to show up and come back, which I find bizarre in the NBA because in the NFL, there are financial implications to just not showing up. And in the NBA, they were like, yeah, I'm not showing up. And then, make sure that direct deposit hit, though. So, because if they keep him, I mean, why would you pay a dude who's not going to show up? I would try to trade him, but then that becomes the issue of how much is his trade value? Like, what is he worth? Because right now, he's a liability in the end of the game. Well, actually, in the actual game until 2 minutes left, because if he can't shoot or shoot free throws, people are just going to foul him until 2 minutes to go in the game. Like we saw in the playoffs, just get into his head, bother him. So if that's not fixed, as good as he is on defense, a passer, all of that stuff, he's not worth the money if when in the playoffs, he's got to sit on the bench an extra 6-7 minutes because the team, because he can't be out there.
Yeah, I mean, are we done? We're done blaming Ben Simmons from this point on, right? Like, this is completely on the Sixers for tanking his trade value by setting the market too high, not listening to anybody who came in with a lower bid, and then now not being able to get the player back that they told they were going to trade. Like this is like turning down a date because you thought you had a better date, not getting that date, and then going back to the original person
and saying, "Hey, yo, let's go on a date."
And like you were gonna say yes last time. What's wrong this time? Like I don't agree with your reasoning for telling me no.
Yesterday's prices are not today's prices.
And now there's a rumor that the Philadelphia 76ers told Ben Simmons they were willing to forgive and forget if he dumped Rich Paul.
He ain't dumping Rich Paul, bro. Like, people don't dump Clutch Sports. Clutch Sports dumps you. You don't dump LeBron. You don't dump Rich Paul. These are the most powerful people in the NBA. So then that request, that probably is the one that broke everything finally. When he was like, yo, they want me to dump you. Obviously, that ain't happening. So now what? So now, are the 76ers and Ben Simmons separately, are they being canceled or are they receiving consequences?
I would say that the Philadelphia 76ers are receiving consequences for their actions here. And I would say that if they're being canceled for anything, it's the people who are roping it all in to make one giant theme of like Joel Embiid is currently mad at the fans. You had to offload really good talent to get out from underneath Al Horford's contract. You broke Markelle Fultz. You broke Ben Simmons. You broke Jahlil Okafor. You gave away Mikal Bridges when his mom works for the team. Like this stuff that you've done since 2015 is all coming back to haunt you. I think that attitude is, yeah, I think that attitude is cancel culture. I'm firmly on board with trying to cancel the 76ers and their entire fan base, and they can get mad and they can cry. Come down to Charlotte and find me, I guess. But as far as what's going on,
meet me in Temecula, guy. Now, okay, cool.
I don't know what the halfway point is. I'm not familiar with this part of the country. I don't know what the halfway point meet me in West Virginia. I don't
know. Like in Kentucky. They'll meet you in Kentucky.
Okay. But
or Nashville.
I think that when it comes to the whole Ben Simmons thing, I think that they need to look internally as an organization and say, like, we really screwed this up. We need to publicly open it back up and take the best offer available. You're not going to get 4 first round picks for Ben Simmons. He's like, you being so willing to get rid of him told a lot of teams exactly what they need to know. They're going to have to take his massive contract on and realize that he's not necessarily going to be a help to them offensively, which means it's already going to have to be a team that's offensively established in their identity that is bringing him on for his ball movement and defense.
Yes.
Because they think that he's the last piece of the puzzle. And those teams have probably traded away all their assets.
Yep. Yep.
Do you, where do you think he ends up at this point in time?
Portland. I mean, Portland, I guess. I mean, but the problem is that, like, the Warriors would have been a fit had they been willing to move on from Draymond, but they're not going to trade their whole roster. They're like, we'll just keep Draymond. We got a great defensive player. Draymond will at least shoot the ball and make it some time. So, yeah, so that makes sense to me. All right, and then the 76ers, they are receiving consequences. They made this bed. They have to lie in it. All right, now it is time for the best segment in all of podcasting. That is the best of social media.
Now, here's the best of social media.
And the best of social media is where we literally show you the best things from social media. So the first thing up, this made me happy and made me smile. This picture of this mongoose that's coming back out, but it also made me sad. This BMX model from the late 70s and into the 80s. It made me sad because I didn't have money growing up. And all I wanted was a BMX with pegs. And do you think I got a BMX with pegs, Ralph?
Definitely not.
Definitely not. So while that picture made me happy and reminded me of my childhood, which was really good, it made me sad.
I had a giant yellow Schwinn 5-speed, and it was an enormous eyesore, and that is what taught me not to care. And so I always appreciated not having the... Now, ask me what my attitude is about shoes, and I walking around in voits did not have the same effect as not having a mongoose. But as far as bicycles go, like, I do think it's cool, but you don't need the best bike. You can have a Walmart Huffy and we're still good.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of voits and shoes, Pixar and Adidas team up on a collection celebrating the 20th anniversary of Monsters, Inc. First thing is, I feel old as hell. Monsters, Inc. is 20 years old. First thing. And the second thing is that these are essentially like, I mean, they are Adidas with the green eye and a boost with, you know, with other Pixar characters. I'm not mad at this. I would let my kid wear these shoes, but I am also the same dad that would not allow my kids to wear. Well, my oldest son, who's 15 now, when he was younger, I would not let him wear superhero shoes. Like, if he would, when he was younger, he was like, "Dad, I want these superhero shoes. I want these Skechers that have this." And I was like, "No, my kid does not wear no damn Skechers. You wear you some Nikes. You can wear you some Adidas. You can wear whatever you want to wear. You ain't wearing them." But I realized as my other kids who were significantly younger, as they got older, I let them wear it because I was like, if this makes them happy and they want to wear some light up shoes, then that's what they should wear. And my oldest son was like, "Really? You let them wear them? Okay, Dad." But that was me evolving as a parent. But I think that it came from the fact that I didn't have money growing up. And I sometimes had some XJ 900s, XJ 9000s, whichever ones they were. And I didn't want that for my kids. So I was looking at them wearing light up shoes as a reflection upon me. I was like, I have money. My kids don't need to wear no damn light up shoes. But if that's what makes them happy, why do I care?
True. True. I don't know. I all I know is my kids wear better shoes than I did, and that's important to me. I still struggle to buy expensive shoes. The most I think I've ever spent on a pair of shoes is like 110, and they were some Ultra Boosts, and it was because I live next to the, and even then that's 110 at an outlet store. I'm still not getting shoes right as they drop. So I'm still like thrifty and enough, but I always make sure that like at least I'm wearing better shoes than my kids. They're never going to get made fun of for
yeah.
Well, I mean, no. Payless is bankrupt now ever since my parents stopped shopping there. But yeah, I do want them to be able to go through life not getting made fun of for something they can't control. Better shoes than I did.
Yep. All right. The next thing from the best of social media, Derrick Henry, when he was in high school, somebody put out his rushing totals from when he was in high school. As a freshman, 313 carries. As a sophomore, 313 carries. As a junior, 309 carries. And as a senior, 426 carries at Yulee High School. And he averaged, over his career, 8.7 yards a carry and 252 yards a game. And for 153 touchdowns. Ralph, when I saw that, I was like, that's criminal behavior. His coach needs to be hung up by his toenails.
That's a lot of carries, man. That's too many.
Yes.
In 13 games, that's far too many.
1,300 carries?
At 9 yards a carry, though, that's like having a first down button. If you were coaching and had a first down button, wouldn't you push it?
Yes. On some downs, I'm not doing that all the time because I understand that this kid has a future and I'm not going to run him in the ground. Like, I need to find other people to like spell him sometimes. Like, it, okay.
It would be
different if he were hitting his head on the goalpost every time then and nobody's tackling him. I'm like, okay, cool. If he's running out of bounds every play, all that. But no, dude. But that probably is why Derrick Henry has the stamina that he does now. He's like, oh, this measly 26 carries? Ha! I've taken 52 before.
The way that he gets better with time in games is not something I've seen a lot of in football, period. He's a very special player. We have not seen a lot of people like him. Some people would just assume if you're that big, then throw you in at running back and you'd have those results. But that's not the case. If that was the case, we would have seen it. The holes that you create for somebody, the margins on those, like sometimes you need a smaller athlete. And the fact that he doesn't need to be smaller, that he's just going to make it work on his own, that he's going to punish anybody who tries to tackle him up high, that he has the agility to make people miss who try to tackle him down low. And the fact that he doesn't so far feel the weight of the amount of carries that he's had is incredible. And as far as his high school coach, it's one thing to give your one player almost 500 carries. It's another thing to know that there were kids that had to try to tackle him. So not only do you wonder about how he felt about Derrick Henry's welfare, you wonder about everybody on that opposing team.
Like, oh yeah.
What do you tell them if you're the coach? Like,
because he was a man at the time. Yep. So that's tough sledding. But you guys, that is Reister or Wrong for this Wednesday. Make sure that you share the pod with a friend, tell a friend about it, and subscribe, not just where you're watching it right here, but on the apps as well. Peace out. Catch you guys on Friday.